A couple weeks ago, I was scrolling through my social media feed. I belong to several groups that are dedicated to helping find missing persons and information about unsolved murders. I'm always amazed at just how many people have vanished and how many murders go unsolved. It breaks my heart to think of all the families who are hoping every day for that new piece of information, that new witness that comes forward, or that person who didn't know that they knew something that could help. Now, when I put cases together for the podcast, I spend hours and hours researching to get all the information. It's a long process. As I'm starting, I choose cases that have captured my attention for my own personal reasons. Now, I was looking through all the shared flyers and pictures online, thinking about how these families need to get more attention for their loved ones. Some of these cases are new, and hours can make a difference. But research takes time, and then I had an idea. What if I shared the information put out by the family and police? Just sharing that information might help get the word out. I decided to do a Missing and Murdered Monday. It will help spread the word and maybe, just maybe, might bring something out that helps the case. Some of the cases took turns and played out as I was putting this together. So I went on to the next case. Some of these cases I may do a full episode on later, but I still want to get this information out now. You never know who will see or hear something that might generate a tip. So, this is the first Missing and Murdered Monday on The Crime Queen. If you have a case you would like me to feature on here, you can email me at thecrimequeen@gmail.com or message me on my YouTube channel or on the Crime Queen podcast Facebook page. So, on to our first case. This is out of El Paso, Texas. I came across her sister's post asking for help. Jennifer Arizmendi has been missing since November 29th, 2023. She was last seen at her home at 10 a.m. She said she was going to, quote, head out, but she didn't say where she was going. She never returned home. When she left, all her personal items, including her cell phone, were left behind. She was wearing a black romper with a white jacket and white shoes. She's 22 years old, has long highlighted brown and blonde hair. She's 5'2 and weighs about 110 pounds. Her sister's asking for any information, and she wants Jennifer to know that she loves and misses her and that her whole family is searching for her. If you have any information, please call 915-275-7083. Two things that jumped out at me in regards to this case. The first, Jennifer bears a resemblance to 18-year-old Savannah Soto, the pregnant woman out of San Antonio who was just found murdered. People had commented on Jennifer's post, confusing the two women. The second was that I couldn't find any newspaper or news broadcasts about Jennifer being missing. So, people may have seen her and not known her family is looking for her. Please reach out if you have any information. The next is a cold case. However, the FBI recently doubled the reward for information. I hope this is a sign that this case could be warming up. Alexandra Alex Anaya was a bubbly 13-year-old middle school student. Her sunny and loving attitude didn't hint at the darkness she had been enduring. Alex had told her mother, Sandra, that her longtime boyfriend had been sexually abusing her for the past 6 years of their 9-year relationship. Her mother immediately broke up with Rodolfo Heredia upon learning this, but they weren't going to be free from his abuse. He began stalking the family. Sandra found Rodolfo peering into Alex's bedroom and standing outside of their home. When Sandra caught Rodolfo inside of their house, she had him arrested for stalking. Just days after his arrest, Sandra and Alex had been eating White Castle on the evening of August 12, 2005. Sandra had to leave in the early morning hours, but left Alex to watch her little sisters, something Alex was used to doing. When Sandra returned home, Alex was missing. She called the police, who initially believed the 13-year-old had run away. Her mother didn't think she would do this, but she thought maybe she decided to take some time away. She expected Alex would return soon, but they began searching for her anyway. On August 16, 2005, a family was boating on the Little Calumet River in Chicago. They spotted something floating and got closer to investigate. They found a female torso, weighed down by chains and held in place with straps. The head, arms, and legs were missing, which made identification difficult. Police thought the torso might belong to Alex. There wasn't a lot of evidence without the entire body, but an autopsy revealed undigested French fries in her stomach and that the girl had been sexually assaulted. Police called Sandra Anaya in and asked her to submit DNA. She gave them her DNA but didn't believe it could be her daughter, even though they only lived about 10 miles from where the torso had been discovered. After 3 weeks, the tests came back and it was confirmed that it was in fact Alex that had been found in the river. Rodolfo Heredia was a suspect from the beginning. He lived just 2 blocks from where her body had been found. It couldn't be a coincidence that she disappeared just days after revealing she had been sexually abused by him for years. Soon after, Heredia was charged with travel in interstate commerce for the purpose of killing, injuring, harassing, or intimidating Sandra Anaya, and he pleaded not guilty to the charge. In January of 2006, a jury found him not guilty. Alex Anaya's murder had not been brought up during the trial by either the defense or the prosecution. In 2016, new information was released. Alex had been wearing a gold religious medallion when she was killed. It has never been recovered, meaning her killer might still have it. There's currently a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the gruesome murder of Alex Anaya. Anyone with information is asked to call the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI, or you can submit tips on the FBI website. Our next case is Tracy A. Pickett from Joplin, Missouri. The information that I have was taken from the Charlie Project website, a really great resource for missing people run by one woman, Megan. Its goal is to bring awareness to people who have been missing for over a year and haven't received much publicity. On August 11, 1992, 14-year-old Tracy Pickett left her Joplin, Missouri home to spend the night with a female friend in the 800 block of Doherty Avenue in Webb City, Missouri. Tracy's mother allowed her to go, thinking her friend lived with her parents and that they would be home. She did not know the girl lived on her own. There was a party at the residence that night. According to witnesses, one of the guests, a man named Al, kept staring at Tracy all night and even asked if she was wearing panties. Ew. Eventually, he offered to give her a ride home to Joplin so she could change her clothes. He was supposed to return her to her friend's apartment afterwards. He drove a black van with 2 sunroofs, louvered side windows, and Oklahoma license plates. A witness stated that they saw a gun inside of the van. Tracy has never been heard from again. A week after her disappearance, authorities located and interviewed the individual who gave her a ride. By then, he had left the state. Al was actually named Lowell Andrew Billy, and he had a prison record. Billy claimed he dropped Tracy off outside a pawn shop in downtown Joplin. There had been a female voice Tracy's mother didn't recognize that left two messages on her answering machine, one on the night of August 11th and one at 10 a.m. on August 12th. The message said Tracy was on her way home to change her clothes. When Tracy's mother realized she was missing, she went to Tracy's friend's apartment and found her daughter's shoes in the bedroom closet. Neighbors who lived nearby reported that on the morning of August 12th, they saw a young girl running down an alley screaming, "Get away from me, leave me alone." At about noon the same day, a witness reported seeing Billy cleaning out a van near Carthage, Missouri. The van matched the description of Billy's vehicle, but police were unable to verify that the van the witness saw was, in fact, his. A year after Tracy's disappearance, Billy was charged with kidnapping, rape, and forcible sodomy in Oklahoma. He eventually pleaded no contest and was sentenced to 7 years in prison. During the summer of 1993, he had picked up a Tulsa, Oklahoma woman who was hitchhiking. He held her captive for 4 hours and beat and sexually assaulted her. He was released from prison, but he was later jailed again for failing to register as a sex offender. Police believe Tracy was murdered, and Billy is the prime suspect in her disappearance, but authorities have no evidence to charge anyone in her case. Authorities attempted to drain an old mining pit in the area in 2005, thinking Tracy's body might be in it, but they were unable to drain it and called the search off without finding anything. Tracy's father is now deceased, but her mother is still alive and hopes she will be found. Her case remains unsolved, but Joplin police are still investigating. Tracy Pickett was born on March 9th, 1978. She would be 45 years old now. She was 14 at the time of her disappearance. She weighs 115 pounds and she's 5 feet 4 inches tall. She was wearing a pink t-shirt and cutoff jeans when she disappeared. She has dark blonde hair and brown eyes. She has a dog bite scar on her lower lip and an unfinished hand-drawn tattoo of an X-shaped cross on her left breast. Her ears are also pierced. Anyone with information about Tracy can call the Joplin Police Department at 417-623-3131 or the Missouri State Highway Patrol at 866-362-6422. Finally, I want to mention Summer Wells. She went missing on June 15th, 2021 from her family's home in Hawkins County, Tennessee. It was reported that she had been planting flowers with her mom and her grandma. Her mom said she told them she wanted to go inside, and her brother said she went down into the basement to play with her toys. When her mother went inside a short time later, Summer was gone. Her family believed she was abducted. A neighbor and her children reported hearing a scream about an hour before Summer went missing. The 5-year-old would now be 7. She was last seen wearing gray pants and a pink shirt. She was 3 feet tall and weighed 40 pounds. A truck was reportedly seen in the area of Summer's house around the time of her disappearance. It was described as a 1998 to 2000 maroon or red Toyota Tacoma with a full bed ladder rack and white buckets in the truck bed. Anyone with tips or information can call the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation at 615-744-4000. Thank you for tuning in to Missing and Murdered Monday. Thank you to my crime kingdom for all the support. please follow, rate, like, share, review, subscribe, all the things. Thank you.